Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah, Alex Dono, I just stepped in for Hawk. I did listen to the last segment. I'm on here with Crowder and with Alejandro Solana. And I got to say, huge compliments to Solana. I think it's probably a good thing for you that Hockman stepped away and left early. He's going to miss the last couple of hours because he was giving you some resistance when, personally, Chronicles of Petty is some of the best radio I've heard in a very long time. I mean, my compliments to you. In fact, Solana, I am just gathering the spirit of Petty. Like, the holy spirit of Petty is now
taking over?
Dusting off the old pipes.
I'm speaking in tongues. It's taking over my body. Can you give me that Petty open?
Let's go!
The Chronicles of Petty.
You guys remember when that disrespectful LeBron James... Oh, wait, am I supposed to wait for music? Oh, here we go.
Go ahead.
You guys remember when that disrespectful LeBron James, summer of 2014, after he threw that NBA Finals, by the way, he already knew that he was taking whatever left of his talent he still had back to Cleveland, that smelly, smelly city. And what did LeBron James do? LeBron wasted Pat Riley's time. LeBron disrespected the Godfather. He told Riley, come out to Vegas and see me, Pat. Come out to Vegas and grovel at my feet. Try to explain to me why I should come back and re-sign in Miami. And you know what that disrespectful, subhuman LeBron James did during that meeting? He was playing FIFA on PlayStation. Might have been Xbox, I'm not sure. Wouldn't even look Pat Riley in the eye during that meeting. LeBron James is about to get a lesson in culture.
Dono, in the Dono spirit, in the love of what you just presented, yeah!
Well done, Dono. Well done.
Great.
That's how you
job,
do it.
Dono. Lion-ass LeBron.
Lion LeBron.
That's what he does. He lies.
Oh, man. And by the way, I was listening to you guys talk about coffee. I'm also about a 7-cup-a-day guy. And you know, Solana, you said that you can't drink a whole colada. I routinely drink an entire colada, so I'm not sure what you're talking about, man. It's why my heart rate is through the roof right now.
You shouldn't drink an entire colada, is what I should have said.
Hey, Donald, we got men's chest and men's hearts. He got a little baby heart, little puppy heart. We're men. Bro, I wish they could shoot colada straight into my veins with an IV. I'd take it with the little fuzzy milk.
With little Chaz at home, you probably need that these days.
Bro, you know how it is. Luke, how old's Luca now?
He's still 24/7, man. He just woke up from a nap. My mom's dealing with him right now, so God bless her. But no, the kid, he's 2.5. He's hyper all day, every day, man.
I'm at 3 months, bro. You remember this time. Yeah, sleep is irrelevant. It's just awake or not, or hanging out. But, yeah, I don't worry about sleep too much nowadays. I just kind of hang out. I watch so many movies at night, it's ridiculous.
We're going to have Cheers 2 later this hour. Also coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk some Marlins with Todd Hollinsworth as the Marlins are back in the playoffs. And Marlins in the playoffs, you know what that means? It means World Series. The Marlins have never lost a playoff series in franchise history. 2-for-2 for World Series. Before we get to all that, let's get some headlines with Solana.
Game 1, NBA Finals. The Miami Heat are in the NBA Finals. They play LeBron James and the Lakers. That's tomorrow, 9 p.m., guys.
I really can't wait. Is anybody putting, you know, any Monopoly money on the Heat for the series? Because I haven't really thought about any bets yet.
I'm scared, Dono. We found out. I'll tell you honest, Dono. I was a bitch in the Milwaukee series, and now I'm really a bitch now. I'm soft when it comes to this. I have no guts. As Solana has tokened the phrase of guts, Solana has guts. We found out that me and Hawk have no guts.
Anything else, Solana? What else we got?
If you got the guts.
Which Crowder does not.
I don't. I'm so scared of the Lakers. Like, I'm terrified of the Lakers. I have no guts.
Tomorrow, also at 2 p.m., it's game one of the NL wildcard round. Marlins and Cubs, 2 p.m. tomorrow.
Is it Alcantara on the hill?
Alcantara. Did I see that correct? On the hill, yes. He gets the nod.
Hey, man. I know we're going to talk to Todd Hollinsworth next, and I'm going to ask him about it. But, bro, Jeter told us trust the process, and the process seemed to work right now, guys. We were giving Jeter a hard time with the charm offensive and all when he came in. But, bro, we never expect this out of the Marlins.
I'm starting to come around. I've said it openly and often that I used to be a big Marlins fan and a big baseball fan, and gradually over time Jeffrey Loria sucked the fan out of me, right? And I know Loria has been out of the picture for a few years now, but it's still like the new regime didn't win me over immediately, but I'm actually starting to see the fruits of their labor, and I'm seeing what these young players and young arms can do. So, like, finally the cloud for me of Loria is finally being lifted, and I'm really coming around on the Marlins, because I could only take so much. Like, I could only take so much of the anguish over the years of Loria, and so finally they're bringing me back.
Love you, Jeets.
So the big news this morning was that the Tennessee Titans and the Vikings, that they closed their facility after 8 Titans player and personnel tested positive for the coronavirus. The Vikings and Titans played on Sunday. Adam Schefter, he tweeted out an hour ago that the NFL wants to and intends to play the Titans-Steelers game as scheduled on Sunday, one of the contingency plans to allow for additional testing and contact tracing to occur would be to move the game to Monday night.
Man, it's, it's clear and apparent that they do have contingency plans, and I know this is something that they discussed for a couple months before the season actually started. It's still the Crowder. Like, it's hard for me to believe this game is played on Sunday. Like, I could maybe see it played on Monday or Tuesday, but like you've got to be testing all these players, the Titans players, like 5-6 times before Sunday if you can, and do the contact tracing, because, you know, I know we've learned over the last several months that this virus is just very strange and unpredictable. The same thing recently happened with an Italian soccer team where everybody tested negative right before the game, and then after the game 11 guys tested positive, like seemingly out of nowhere, and that seems to have been what happened with the Titans.
And the Titans play the Texans this Sunday, and the Vikings play the Steelers. Like, the Steelers and Texans have such an advantage of 5 days of practice to their 2, speaking of the Titans and Vikings. Like, I don't know about that whole let's push it back to Monday night thing when we can't even see each other's face until Friday. Mm-hmm. I would anticipate that this initial report of, yeah, we might move it back a day or two, I would anticipate that these games get canceled if they can't practice until Friday.
Finally, guys, a quick baseball update. The wild card series have begun. Right now, the White Sox, they lead the Oakland Athletics, top of the 4th, 3-0. And right now on ABC, again, it's a best of 3 series. Both of these are game ones. The Twins, they lead the Astros 1-0 in the bottom of the 5th inning. Those are your sports headlines.
Huge. Who's your World Series pick, Solana?
The Marlins.
Yeah, he's got the guts. What about you, Crowder?
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Tatis, let's go.
I love my man with them yellow dreads, and that dude is a dog. I'll watch the Marlins, and I'll watch whatever damn team Tatis Jr. is on.
Oh, man, so good stuff. Remember, later this hour, we're going to have a new episode of Cheers 2, so be thinking about it for the chance to win the $50 Funky Buddha gift card. But we will talk some Marlins when we come back. Todd Hollinsworth, Marlins analyst, will join us next here on Hawk and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, my goodness, a Gorgonzola crumble. Oh, you're speaking my language.
Hawk and Crowder.
So we're expecting to chat with Todd Hollinsworth, Marlins analyst, this segment to talk about postseason opening up for the Fish tomorrow. Crowder, I got to love the crack producing by Solana here. So Hollinsworth scheduled for 4:15. You know, we're talking during the break. At 4:16, Solana says, I think he's calling us, but I'm not sure. And I said, well, how do you know that? He said, well, Hawk didn't give me his number, so that probably means he's calling us. But wait, I asked, might that just mean Hawk forgot to give you his number? Mm-hmm. So he realized at 4:16 this might be a problem. So Solana is trying to track down Mr. Hollinsworth as we speak. So maybe he'll join us here. Maybe he won't.
The relationship between all of us, Dono, I know you listen to the show, you know, at times, is a little weird because Solana, he thinks a little highly of, more highly of himself than we do, let's be honest. And then Hawk kills him and they argue and I sit back because I'm the good guy, Dono. Everybody knows that.
Oh,
so I try to calm everything down. But yeah, our dynamic, man, it works. It works great. Great show. But yeah, it's a little inefficient, I would say.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of the Marlins, though, for a second, we've had a couple people texting in that, yeah, it was a 60-game season, though. They would have never kept it up for 162. First of all, you don't know that, okay? No. Second of all, every team was playing the same amount of games. It's not as if the Marlins were playing 60 and everyone else was playing 162. And third of all, screw you for not believing in the Fish, man. I mean, I'm excited for playoff baseball. And what a time to be alive as a South Florida sports fan. And Crowder, I'm sure you and Hawk talked about this yesterday, but with that weekend, I know you don't care as much about the Canes, some of us do, but completely demolishing Florida State. That was on Saturday. The Marlins had already clinched their playoff berth on Friday. Dolphins had won pretty well done against the Jaguars on Thursday night. The Heat punched their ticket to the NBA Finals on Sunday. You know, usually you wouldn't have NBA postseason going on at the same time as this other stuff. So this was one of the greatest South Florida sports weekends ever, and it's going to create a great South Florida sports Wednesday when you have the Marlins opening up their playoffs and the Heat opening up the NBA Finals. Tomorrow is like sports Armageddon.
Oh, my goodness. And with the Heat, bro, the Heat, unexpected, already a successful year. I think this series is going to go to 6 or 7. So I'm so excited about the finals. But Solana always gives me a hard time. Donna, you just got on me about the Canes. Bro, Florida State is a high school team right now. Their damn head coach was at home because he has COVID. Like, bro, no. I'll tell you this, Donna. In 2 weeks, because the Canes have a bye and they play Clemson. I said this yesterday, Donna, and I'll tell you. If the game is within one touchdown or single digits, if the game is a 9-point deficit going into the fourth quarter, I will respect the Canes more than a 40-point win against Florida State. I want to see y'all against a real team.
42, by the way.
Because Louisville had an okay offense. Their defense was garbage. Let's not talk about UAB, Dono. If you want to, then you are going to wrestle. And then Florida State. I'm telling you, in 2 weeks from now, I will come around on the Canes being a top 10 team if they can even compete with Clemson. And I think, honestly, if they compete with Clemson, they don't drop out of top 10. Even if they lose, if they compete. I'm talking about if it's a 28-24 game or 35-31, something like that. That impresses me more than a UAB win, than a Louisville win, and then a Florida State win. If you can keep up with Clemson, that's where I'm going to set my measuring stick.
See, the only thing that I disagree with you about with the Florida State thing is I know that team is bad. I know that Florida State's awful. It's very obvious, not only from what they did against Miami, but losing to Georgia Tech in the opener. But, you know, on the broadcast on Saturday, I thought Kirk Herbstreit said it best, that even though they're beating up a poor Florida State team, you can still see the execution and the Canes, you know, and keep in mind on Saturday, Miami was number 12. And Herbie said, I am watching a top 10 team. Like, this team needs to be in the top 10. And sure enough, Miami comes out top number 8 in the next batch of rankings. So, yeah, part of it was on the opponent. But Crowder, like, I've seen plenty of UM teams over the years that even if they were facing a team that poor, would still find a way not to execute, not to convert third downs, not to come up with the timely turnovers, to be missing field goals and extra points, and the game would not have been as lopsided as it was. Like, I think in this case, both can be true. Is Florida State bad? Yes. Was Miami impressive? Yes.
Yes, and De'Aaron King brought me around. Dono, we've worked together. You know I'm not a fan of transfer guys. Like, bro, you couldn't make it at your school, so now you're going to transfer and make it? Get your ass out of here. Russell Wilson's the only one that ever transferred that I was like, okay, well, man, the man looked a little better. But I would tell you De'Aaron King is special. And then now you have Phillips and Roche on the edge. I've seen enough out of them. That running back crew, Dono, is, I don't want to say Clinton Portis, Frank Gore, and that crew. We just edge and all that. We can't do that. But Cameron Harris is pretty good. I made an argument yesterday that I think Chaney and Knighton are better than Harris. Like, Chaney and Knighton are extremely impressive as rookies. I believe the Canes are coming back around talent-wise to what y'all are used to as hardcore Canes fans when you look at the running back. You look at the Al Blaze, what Al Blaze Jr. did over the last two games. I watch this team because we cover them. I watch this team, bro, and I'm seeing a good team. But I'm seeing some guys that are jumping out that weren't jumping out in the last 10 years like that. That weren't jumping out as All-American candidates. De'Aaron King right now is a Heisman candidate. That's what I haven't seen at UM. So I am impressed, even though I'm a Gator. I am impressed.
All right, let's talk some hardball because we have Marlins analyst Todd Hollinsworth with us as we have the big series coming up, Marlins and Cubs. Mr. Hollinsworth, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Great to be with you guys this afternoon.
And it's great to have you. And you know, given what just a strange year this is, I know that there was some uncertainty before the season started, if there would even be a season, you know, shortened season. Marlins had all those COVID positives early on. There were a lot of people doubting this team. Does it feel a bit surreal to be where we are now?
Well, I think it should. It certainly speaks volumes to this team and to this group. I think it's been a long time since South Florida has seen a team, a baseball team, play with such passion and enthusiasm. I understand it's a 60-game season, but it is what it is. It's 60 games for everybody. They have, to me, been easily one of the most impressive, if not the most impressive team in all of Major League Baseball. And I'm not talking wins and losses. I'm just talking the fight they had to fight just to get on the field. I mean, with everything that's kind of happened to this this team and this organization, I think it was 174 transactions in 60 games. I mean, it's like almost three a day. I mean, this is a team that has been, you know, had the ups and the downs, and at the end of it all, it's had one of its most successful seasons, first winning season in 12 years, first time to the playoffs in 17. So, Don Mattingly, if he's not the manager of the year, I don't know who is.
And Todd, the process now with Jeter, you're talking about the management, you're talking about you know, all the turnover, and Jeter told us to wait it out. We've heard in basketball they call it the process, like let the process work out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, Todd? Like, has the process worked out? Because we didn't expect to go to the playoffs.
Well, and that's a great point. I think this team is probably surprised, even the front office, at least in terms of timing. They beat the process, but I continue to remind people that there has been this silver lining that's been in this, and it surrounds a negative kind. You know, obviously, most people that love baseball love the minor leagues. We have them. I mean, they're all across the country. Ours got shut down this year, and it put the Marlins in a position to say, all right, here's what we're going to do. We can either keep our kids who are really close, and we can keep them in Jupiter, and we can have them work out, play inter-squad games until, you know, something more meaningful happens, or we can give these guys an opportunity to perform at the highest of levels. Other sports, you do it more, you know, more regularly. Baseball, there's always a process, and most guys have to kind of go through the minor league system to make sure that they're ready, that they can handle the challenges of the big league game. It's been a different year. It's allowed the Marlins to accelerate some of these processes. And guess what? These kids are standing up and they're going out there and getting it done.
We're joined here by Todd Hollinsworth on the Hawk and Crowder Show. Let's talk a bit about this series with the Cubs. I mean, first of all, can the relief pitching hold up against the Cubs' aggressive attack? And if there are any other X factors you think could come into play in this series, let me know.
Well, it's a great one. It's a good question. Can the bullpen hold itself up? I mean, I think that there's five or six legitimate answers in our bullpen, just like there is in the Cubs bullpen. But I guess what it comes down to is this. Remember, this is a three-game series, guys. So, you know, if we're having this conversation, you know, in game three where, you know, you're getting desperate and you're in the bullpen or you're overusing the bullpen, I feel like I could almost guarantee you whoever we're talking about, whether it's the Cubs and the Marlins or any of the other wild card games, that the team that's in the bullpen too much is probably chasing the other team. And that would be the case. Listen, the Cubs are, they're good. They're a very talented team. They've got a rookie manager now, David Ross, who was part of the championship of 16. So, I mean, he's my age. He's actually a little bit younger than me, but you know, I feel like there's an advantage there with Don Mattingly. I feel like, you know, when it comes to bullpen matchups and getting the right guys into position, getting the right pinch hitters, you know, playing that game and dying most of the season, you know, ended up on the right end of those little battles that managers have during the course of the game to get the matchup you want. I feel like he can win those battles. I'll say this. If we're seeing too much of the bullpen, that means the strength of this team is not what it needed to be in this series, and that would be discouraging, I guess, in my mind, because Sandy and Pablo and Sixto, they're as talented as anybody in this game. All they lack is experience. All they lack is, you know, having been there, being able to say, I've been to the postseason before. If they're coming out of these starts early, it's because they're not succeeding. And if they're not succeeding, then, you know, the Marlins are going to be in trouble too. So, I mean, that's just the way you'd have to see it.
And Todd, my producer Solana is telling me to call you Holly. Is it? Do people call you Holly? Like I don't want to be that guy.
Well, that's all right. I would appreciate it if you would, because everybody kind of refers to me as Holly, and it was my nickname when I played, and it kind of is my nickname when you get to know me. So feel free. I would appreciate it. You guys are more than welcome to call me Holly.
Thank you so much, Holly. So I was going to ask you, because what the Heat are doing right now, Holly, like. They're already achieved. Like, if you tell a Heat fan we're in the finals, like, they're happy. Like, we didn't expect this. So, with the Marlins, like, I don't want to move the bar around. And you cover the team, you know, way more intensely than we do. Like, is this a win? Is going to the playoffs a win? What is overachieving for this 2020 Marlins team?
Well, and I think let's just be fair. This is me speaking, not somebody. And, again, I do have a lot more invested into this group, and I think that's very real. But I love to be real with you guys. Yeah, I mean, come on, let's be honest here. I did radio shows in South Florida before the start of the season and caught heat for saying that this is, you know, anybody could go to the playoffs this season. They were like, wait a minute, you're talking about the Marlins? And I said, yeah, I'm talking about the Marlins. The Marlins got a shot at going to the postseason. And they're like, you got to be kidding me. They lost 105 games last year. I said, but this is a different year. And the circumstances are different. And one of the strengths of the Marlins has been their organizational depth. We've been talking about it and raving about it. And again, it's not just at the major league level. We're talking about the minor leagues here. They have what a lot of other teams don't have. Well, in this crazy year where guys are, you know, getting shut down and we've got teams missing games and we've got COVID absences and, you know, all this other stuff that's going on along with all the other injuries, that depth was going to be tested. And that is probably the number one reason why the Marlins have passed all of these tests. Not only are they a good team, but they've got more depth than everybody else. I mean, you look at the Philadelphia Phillies, and I think of that 7-game series that they played in 5 days. Their depth was tested, and they did not have answers when they had three of their key guys go down, including Zach Wheeler. We've had answers all season long, and some of those answers have been outside the organization. But even then, and credit goes to Michael Hill on this, the people that they brought in have answered. I mean, they've stepped up and they've performed. So, yeah, this is a story that we're going to hopefully be telling for a bunch of years to come. But this is step one. Are they beating the clock? They absolutely are.
We're talking some Marlins baseball here with Todd Hollinsworth. And, you know, Todd, we talk so much about the youth and the organizational depth, but how valuable was it having vets like Miguel Rojas and Corey Dickerson in the clubhouse this year?
No, I mean, you cannot put a price tag on how valuable all of them have been. You know, the acquisitions, and Michael Hill says this, and sometimes, like, you know, I hear it and it's like, okay, I've been here and I know what he's talking about, but you know, you always want to say the right thing about the vets that you bring in. I would assume it's probably over all professional sports, but you know, the dynamic in baseball is different because these guys are around each other 16 hours a day for like 6 months, most of the time. And having the older brothers, as I like to call them, the guys who are the veterans, the guys who have been around, the guys who have gone to, you know, gone through the battles, gone to the postseason in these wars, you got to bring in the right guys. And that's not always easy to do because in our sport, there's so much failure that it takes, you know, kind of a family atmosphere to help your younger players get through their own struggles. When guys start to go down, man, they get down on themselves. And a lot of times they have a hard time picking themselves up. And you've got to have guys like Miguel Rojas and Jesus Aguilar and Corey Dickerson and Francisco Cervelli and Matt Joyce. I mean, these guys, and some of those names I just gave you, These guys were brought into the organization, but they were keys in that they were targeted for who they were, not only as baseball players, but who they were as people. And so much of what has happened with this group this year is just based on the simple fact that they have created a family dynamic that everybody feels safe in the clubhouse. Everybody feels like I've got a role to do, but it's not too much for me to handle. And, you know, it's like I used to say it all the time. It's like older brothers and younger brothers. And when you've got that kind of going on, it's a really, really good thing because everybody loves each other. Everybody's pulling in the same direction. Baseball is kind of a weird sport like that. It's not always, you know, cohesiveness that you see in every clubhouse, but this one's got it.
Holly, it's Solana. You just mentioned it a couple questions ago that you were the first one to have this team potentially making the playoffs, but you took it a step further on July 24th on that Fox Sports Florida broadcast. This is what you had to say on the Marlins' very first official game this year.
We may not remember who wins the ERA title in 2020 because it's a 60-game season, but we will definitely remember who wins the World Series, and I do believe the Marlins have a legitimate shot at it.
Yes.
So they've accomplished the first step. Do you want to double down? Are you calling it?
Well, now listen. I'm not. This is a whole nother tournament.
Okay.
Everybody's 0-0. I'll say this. It's funny because I went out and I look at some of the people who every postseason the baseball writers and people from around the country will want to put out their predictions. Who's going to win the wild card? Who's going to get to the World Series? And surprisingly, and this is great for Marlins fans and for those people in South Florida who want to be Marlins fans, because I'm telling you right now, this is going to be something that you're going to want to get on. This train's moving in the right direction. But people are picking this team to play well. I don't think everybody's got them at the top of the heap. I knew that they were going to – they had a legitimate shot of getting to the postseason, and my argument even then is this. When you get to the postseason, anything can happen, guys. I mean, listen, this team is – they could go into Chicago and take the first two games. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. But that's how crazy this season is. It's all the rules are out the window. We're doing things every series. There's no off days in between the series. You guys remember watching the World Series, right? We play a couple games, then you take a day off, then you play like three more, and then you take a day off. We're not even doing that. We're just going game. Once you start the series has to keep moving. And it's just such a different dynamic that anything is possible. So am I going to call it? I would love to see the Marlins win the World Series. They have as good a shot as anybody.
Yes.
Everybody's doing the fish.
That depth is going to be tested, though. That's what it's going to be because these series get longer. When these series get longer, you got to have the right guy.
Well, we really appreciate your time and the confidence. And remember, Fox Sports Florida will televise pre- and post-game shows before and after every Marlins Wild Card Series game. So you can tune in Wednesday starting at 1:30. And then for the pregame show, then flip back to Fox Sports Florida after the final out. And Todd, we really appreciate the time and the analysis. Have a great time breaking down this series coming up.
Thanks so much, guys. Enjoy it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Like I said, the playoffs are back in South Florida, and it's not just the Heat. It's not just the hockey teams. It's not the Panthers. The Marlins are back, man. They're going to be back for a little while. So jump on board.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful stuff. Thank you so much. And that was cool. And I'm glad, Solana, that you dug up that prediction, because I can remember that soundbite and the video getting passed around on social media as if people were preparing for a freezing cold take, and he turned out to be spot on, like spot on. So if we, when certain other analysts make terrible predictions and we hold them accountable, we also need to pat someone on the back when they make a prediction that does stand the test of time, like that one did.
Come on, Donald. You know that's not how the world works. You mess up, fair. You jump on it. You predict right, you ignore it. That's how people work, man. That's what our jobs run off of.
Yeah, we're gonna have hopefully some good ones when we come back on Cheers 2. So line them up on the phone line 786-360-0790. You give us your Cheers 2 for a chance to win a $50 gift card at Funky Buddha. You'll hear one from me, Crowder, and Solana as well, right here on Hawk and Crowder.
In this time of uncertainty, J&K Roofing is here for you and me. I'm a customer of J&K Roofing, like they've been here for us for over 41 years. 41 years, J&K Roofing has been South Florida's premier roofing company, fixing, replacing, and restoring roofs here in South Florida. They're practicing social distancing to keep you and their workers safe. But to be honest, in most cases, they don't have to come in your house or your business to put a new beautiful roof or repair an existing roof on that building. And if you have any roofing needs, I tell you this, assessments, questions, just want to figure out what's going on, call J&K, because the financing offers you can get through Wygreen right now will blow your mind. J&K Roofing specializes in both residential and commercial roofing. There's no job too big. There's no job too small. And when I have a roofing problem, I call Donnie, the owner. And I always ask him, how are you the best? How could have you done this for four decades, 41 years? And he tells me, we have extremely high-skilled workers and the best material out there. And you can't ask for any more. And let me tell you, as a customer, that's what happened. When I had a roof leak, they came out on time both days. Both times, they told me 8:30 a.m. both days. They were there 8:30 a.m. They were respectful. They were professional. They were the best. And then the shingle, metal, tile, gravel, whatever material. I have clay barrel. They brought the best material. They got me right like they'll get you right. And we know in South Florida, it's always raining. It's always hurricane season. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to have a roof problem in South Florida. Call J&K Roofing right now. Trust me, you will thank me later. 954-961-9879. That's the number, 954-961-9879. For all your roofing needs, call J&K Roofing. And J&K Roofing knows that we're all in this thing together.
We'll give our cheers to next, so line them up on the phones. It's 786-360-0790. That's 786-360-0790. Cheers to is coming up next here on Hawk and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Poop through a goose.
Hawk and Crowder.
Thanks again to Todd Hollinsworth for joining us. Got a couple open phone lines for your chance to win a $50 gift certificate to Funky Buddha Brew. If you have a cheers to for today, 786-360-0790. That's 786-360-0790. If you want to give us cheers to, you will have a chance to win $50 to Funky Buddha Brew. Man, I love that spot. All right, and so.
I wish I could win. With the hard seltzer, with the Hop Gun, with the Feridian, with the Vibin, with the Chant IPA, a low-calorie IPA, which changed my life. Man, come on, Donald. Give me that 50, man, please.
You know, I drink their beer constantly, but I've actually still never been to the tap room, so I have to get out there at some point.
We got to have a date, John. Let's have a date, me and you, man.
I know, because I remember a couple times, like, you guys had had like Panthers watch parties out there, but I was working the broadcast, so I couldn't go. So, but yeah, at some point, I got to get up there to because you talk about those nacho tots and stuff. That might be my cheers, too, for today.
Bro, oh, my goodness. The chicken wings, the bison burgers are crazy, and they have yuca tots. And I think Hawk just puts them in an IV because he loves the yuca tots. But, bro, the food is amazing. But think about that. All this delicious food, Dono, and every Funky Buddha beer along the wall on tap. Oh, that's my happy place, bro. I feel like I'm in heaven. I might have died.
So good. All right, let's hit the big open for another edition of Cheers 2.
It's Cheers 2. We love Funky Buddha so bad. It's Cheers 2. We love Funky Buddha so bad. Huck and Crowder. Love Cheers 2.
Let's play Cheers 2.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, we're going to have a special guest Cheers 2 from Danny G, a.k.a. Sports Bomber, who's running the affiliate studio here today. But I'll give you mine first. I am giving my cheers to De'Aaron King. Yeah. Guys, I don't know if you checked this today. I've become a big degenerate. De'Aaron King currently, and this surprised me, for as much as I sing his praises, I was not expecting this. He is now De'Aaron King, the odds-on Heisman Trophy favorite, at least for today. That might change when the Clemson game happens, but at least for today, De'Ara King plus 500 to win the Heisman. Trevor Lawrence is plus 600. So I didn't think I'd be talking about this, you know, 3 weeks into the season. But De'Ara King is the odds-on favorite on, what is it, September 30th, the year of our Lord, 2020. De'Ara King is the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. How about that?
Something else, man. And I'm telling you, Dono, with how that man's playing, he has surprised me. Because why'd you leave Houston if you were so great? Why didn't you get drafted when you had your big year 2 years ago? Now you're transferring? I had no hope in him, but Dono, it took three games for me to swing. De'Ara King's legit, and I think it's justified that he is the front runner to win the Heisman. My cheers too is usually I try to go a little deeper, but I got to go here with what we've talked about and just talking about my excitement in my life. Cheers to the Miami Heat for making the finals.
Yeah!
Fellas, Dono, Solana, bro, we never thought this. I know, Solana, you're a cocky Heat fan. I know, Dono, you're on Team Petty. But y'all, if y'all can with your heart tell me 2 months ago you thought we would be talking about who is going to win the next seven games or four out of the next seven games, the Lakers or the Heat, I would call you a liar. Big shout out to Spo. Big shout out to Riley. Big shout out to not the vets. I got to call out the puppies with Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson and even Kendrick Nunn, what he did in the preseason because he's not doing much in the playoffs. But, fellas, this Heat team, this rebuild, getting back on top this fast, you got to give a cheers to the Miami Heat.
Beautiful. Well, well said. Alejandro Solana, who you giving cheers to?
I'm going to piggyback off of Crowder. I'm going to say cheers not just to Miami Heat or Miami Heat fan, but cocky Heat fan in general, because, man, did we need a time for cocky Heat fan to make his heralded return right off the back of a global pandemic. Things are not looking great for anybody in the entire world, and this is unbelievable for South Florida, specifically for cocky Heat fan able to pound our chest again. The Miami Heat are back in the NBA Finals. Cocky Heat fan is officially back.
That's right. Poetry. That is beautiful. We got Danny G, the sports bomber. Who are you giving cheers to?
Oh, man, that's real simple for me. I'm giving it up to my fighting fish, the Miami Marlins. All right. I'm giving it up to all the baseball fans in Miami who have suffered through it all these years like me. Hey, we ain't bottom feeders anymore. Respect Miami, man. Cheers.
I like it, Danny. God damn, I like it.
Danny G came out of the corner firing. I love that.
Hey,
all
man.
Right.
Yeah. Got to respect the Marlins, bro. Nobody's showing them love. I got to do it, bro. Been winning 60 That's games right. this year. It's been a great ride.
Love it.
Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go first. Long distance to Hawaii. Tom is in Hawaii. What's up, Tom? Who you giving cheers to?
What's up, boys? I don't want to piggyback too much on everything else, but I guess I'm just gonna go in depth and like Tyler Hero, man. Like I know it's been said and said again, but this young man is just incredible, and the fact that we can depend on him, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I'm speechless.
No, Tom, I was so surprised the last two games that they had Tyler bringing the ball down. They had him facilitating the entire offense when they were up against, they had a 3-1 lead and they were up against the Boston that was roaring back, bro. I'm with you. Tyler Hero, without yeah. Tyler on this team, I don't think they're in the finals. 37-point game, facilitating for the last two. I'm with you, bro. Tyler is special.
He's 20 years old. When I was 20, I was a liability in every part of my life. And this guy's helping a potential NBA champion. It's incredible. All right, let's go to John in Davie. Who are you giving cheers to?
No, quickly. I was still getting arrested at 20, so he's way further along than
Me
I
too,
am.
Crowder. Huh? John in Davie. What's
I'm
up, John?
I'm going to go ahead and give a cheers to Doc Rivers. You know, tell him get hit into the back of the line to get a stimulus check, you know. PG cheers into him too. You know, he gets another pass for just being a choke artist. So cheers to the choke artist. Doc Rivers always blowing these leads.
You know what, John? I'm with you, because if you had to choose between who was the problem on the late of the Clippers in the bubble, it is 100% Paul George.
Yeah.
It's 100%. He said it. I can't play in front of empty arenas. Well, you see LeBron, Tyler, you see Bam, you see all these great players balling out. And then PG-13, he needs a crowd to play well. I'm with you. It was a scapegoat firing Doc Rivers so they can keep their roster together. Steve Ballmer, you look crazy, yelling and screaming tail. You made a bad decision on this one.
Let's go to Gil in Fort Lauderdale. Who you giving cheers to, Gil?
Hey, guys. I'm giving cheers to my South Florida sports teams. As a huge fan, I thought it was amazing what the Marlins were able to accomplish, and especially what the Heat have been able to do, and, you know, piggybacking off you guys. You know, as someone who said the Heat were going to make it from the beginning, and, you know, dealing with a bunch of naysayers and people who were basically thinking I was crazy, this is a nice, sweet validation, vindication to those who said no. But just an extra little note, I want to really give my cheers to Channing and all the people who donated to JFIG. I know what she's going through right now is especially awful and terrible. So I think what they're doing is really special to keep her in their thoughts and, you know, help the family and everything. So I thought that was really cool.
Amen to that, by the way.
Yes.
I mean, I can't even imagine what her family is going through right now. So, yeah, God bless everyone who's donated, for sure.
Yes, and myself, Solana, Hawkman, I don't know, Donald, have you retweeted the GoFundMe? Okay, so
absolutely.
Donald has it. Any of our social medias, you can go and donate to JFIG and her family going through tough times. Let's help out a friend.
Amen. Let's go to William in Miami. Who are you giving cheers to?
Hey guys, how you doing? Hopefully everything's going awesome. Just wanted to give cheers and sort of piggyback off you guys. Cheers to specifically to Jimmy Butler and Gene. They were saying he was in cancer, he's a problem. Everyone's saying him no, but he's really adopted that Heat culture, and through the one seed they were saying that we wouldn't get it, through the five seed they were saying we wouldn't get it. We just got all the way up to here, and he's really. Him and that soul sister today is just something to behold, how he's just.
So it's a little windy out there with William, but I got the point, and he's right. I mean, Crowder, Lisa Leslie called Jimmy Butler a loser for going to Miami. Look at him now.
Yeah, Lisa Leslie, get y'all. We had a montage about all the people saying, you want to win? Go to Miami. That's a good thing. Jimmy, throw a basketball in their face. Show them your long-ass mustache and big-face coffee, Jimmy, because you doing it, big bro. You doing it.
All right, let's get in one more, then we'll have to vote quickly. Joaquin and Davey, who are you giving cheers to?
My man, Joaquin.
I'm giving cheers to Mark Cuban for helping Delavonte West to rehab.
Thank you, helping Delonte West. That was nice, man.
That is true. All right,
play for him? Yeah, my man, Joaquin, man. Do your thing, bro. See?
All right, should we vote here? Okay, so we had it's very much a Heat theme for this one.
Yes.
Tom gave his cheers to Tyler Hero. I mean, Tyler Hero has bowling balls between his legs. I mean, unbelievable performance, especially in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. John gave his cheers to Doc Rivers. Bit sarcastic, but I love that. Gil gave his cheers to, I mean, I'm not going to give him credit for both things because it was South Florida sports teams, but most of all, he gave cheers to Channing and everyone who has donated to the GoFundMe for JFIG's family. And yes, God bless everyone who has stepped up there. So I'm going to put him on the board for that one. We had William give cheers to Jimmy Butler, who has been doubted all over the place since coming to South Florida, and I love it. And Joaquin giving his cheers to Mark Cuban. So, I mean, listen, Crowder, we had a lot of good ones, but I think given the circumstances this week, I'm going to go with Gil and the cheers to you and to everyone who has helped out JFIG's family, because it's just, I can't imagine what they're going through. So I'm going to give my vote to Gil. What about you?
I'm with you. We gotta put it on Solana. I can assume his answer, but I'd also like to give some love to John and Davey, bro. Doc Rivers, like, I hate when they picked a player over the coach. Doc is a champion, and Paul George is not. So I'm with you. If you didn't pick Gil, I would have picked Gil. Solana, I'm trying to give you a little heads up. But yes, John, hell of a point with Doc Rivers.
All right, Solana, you're going to be the tie-breaking vote. Who you got?
I can't give it to Doc Rivers because I don't agree. I think Doc Rivers did everything right this specific time, and it was Paul George who blew this series. Paul George is the choke artist, not Doc Rivers, so it doesn't matter. I'm going with Gil because I don't agree with Crowder or John. Gil in South Florida gets my vote.
All right, so Gil in South Florida has $50 at Funky Buddha Brew. So thanks to everyone who participated and cheers to. Got a big 5 o'clock hour coming up next here on Hawk and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
What's a tasty cake?
What?
Hawk and Crowder.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.